point of starting, no? A first step, knowing that I'm a little humble. Everything, everyone is all right, doing well, good health. Hi, Susie. Yeah.
Very good.
Hi, Susie.
Hello. Hello, Fabi. Hey.
So we can start with a prayer, so we can also finish at time. Well, I like that of the shark. I'm coming.
Okay.
Hi. So we start with a prayer, asking God to give us to live in His presence, that is in the bottom, the whole humility. So we ask God to give us that awareness of Him in our lives, so we keep there with Him, in His power, in His love, in His wisdom, so we can be as Him, letting Him to be God and not trying to take His place. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We pray to Mary, asking her a humble heart like hers, that she boasts of that before God. The Almighty has looked the humility, the nothingness, the loneliness of His servant. That was she proclaimed. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and the hour of our death. Amen. And knowing that we are temples of God and we are called to glorify lives, so we give glory to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Sacred Heart of Jesus, pray for us. Immaculate Heart of Mary, pray for us. May the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Hello everyone, good to see you. So we go to this topic of humility that sometimes is very bad understood by people. I mean, humility is only truth. We can put more clear, it's only reality. So reality and truth are the same thing, as you probably. So reality is when the truth, when reality is inside me, because I mean, if you, I see this book, if the book comes inside me, I will be dead. So, but when I know the book is coming inside me in some way, that is truth. And it's a book that is a Bible, it's a little old and used, but I mean, I'm saying what the reality is, and that is because I'm saying the truth. If I say there is a red book, this is the dialogues of Plato, I mean, I'm not saying the truth because that is not, it's very simple, but it's the point of salvation that we can understand the truth. So, and Jesus in this reading today sanctified them, consecrated them in the truth. So the truth is essential dimension of humanity. According to St. Augustine, heaven is Gaudium Veritate, which means rejoicing in the truth. And the truth is reality. I mean, the way we grasp reality in the intelligence is called truth. That is what is truth. So humility is living in the truth, it's living in reality. We have a very strong tendency to live in our heads, and we have talked a lot of times in our imagination, and that is always connected with some kind of pride, because it's thinking that I am what I am not. So I don't keep in reality. I don't keep in the truth of myself. That sometimes is that I am very limited. Yes, that is part of the truth. And so limited that a little virus can kill me without seeing the virus. So we are very, very limited. So we are very little. So it's a matter of reality. So, and the way God sanctifies us is through the truth. It's accepting the truth. It's a kind of truth that is a little different of other truth. There is a truth about myself. So it's who I am in reality. I mean, I'm who I am without God. I mean, we think a lot of things, but in truth, we are nothing without God. I mean, why? Because he's the giver of being. So without God, I am nothing. But the contrary is the truth. When people are not with God, they think that they are something by themselves. So humility is being aware in some way who is God and who am I. It's a process of growth there. It's sometimes a little tough, as you know, because coming to a spiritual life is knowing myself. So it's becoming humble. But I see sometimes it's tough. I see we don't have to look ourselves out of the mercy of God. We think in ourselves out of the mercy of God that has no sense. That is not the Christian point of view. Humility is for opening more to God, because God can only work in the truth. But if I don't accept my truth, but how can I accept my truth? Only knowing that I am loved there. And that is the first stage of spiritual life, is recognizing that, I mean, that I am loved even in my sins. No? But God doesn't love me because I am good. He loves me because he's good and he's able to make me good. That is the foundation of faith, is the mercy of God. So humility is connected with faith in the mercy of God. Aristotle, in fact, he didn't talk about humility. So in the virtues that he described a lot, and for me it's a little boring sometimes, so many virtues, I mean, it's very interesting. I mean, we will say you want to get there, but it's going too much to details and too much how much, no? I have to do for being happy. And the spiritual life, being happy is very easy. It's letting God to be God. So you need to be working so many virtues there. So, and see, the point here is understanding that the more intelligent is a being, the more knowledge has of reality. So the more humble he is or she is. The humblest person ever exists is Jesus. And the second, Mary. And they were enough intelligent both. So it's not connected with any kind of lack of self-esteem, any kind of thing that I self-pity. Is exactly the contrary of all this psychological connected with a neurotic behavior. Because science is a virtue that is before God. I mean, can be without God, yes, but this is the healthy virtue, I would say. Why? Because let you to be in reality. Don't think that you are what you are not. But it's a huge problem, I mean, because we are in a society that is all teaching our children that they have to be perfect. And they can be perfect in their thinking and in the appearance, but in the truth they are weak because they are sinners, as I am sinner, as everyone is sinner. So this craving for being perfect and being without defect, what makes the people is away from God and neurotics, because we are very imperfect. And it's something that is obvious. That is something that people use to discover when they're in their marriage. And if they discover it and accept it, now they can love each other. But if they discover it and they blame each other because they don't want to accept the truth of who they are, now marriage is going to be a tough, tough thing. Or finishing and ending up in divorce. Why? Because, I mean, we are who we are, not what we think. And that is I mean, it's a natural disposition to humility, because it's only knowing the truth. The point is that the depth of the human situation, because original sin is so wounded, that it's very difficult to get to the total truth without a lot of grace and mercy of God. It's clear at this point. If you have any questions when I am talking, you can mute the microphone and make the question. I mean, you can interrupt me without any problem. I'm trying to convince you of nothing. I'm trying to show some reality that is very important in a spiritual life. And now we have to understand it and to accept it in our lives. I mean, in fact, humility is accepting myself. So the first stage of humility is self-acceptance. So I'm trying to be what I am not. I mean, this is the foundation of all things, because if I don't accept how I am, how I am going to grow from whom I am? Because I can grow from whom I am. So I cannot thinking in my head that I am whatever. I'm pretending to walk from there. It's impossible. It's thinking in my head that I am growing. So the first thing is, and it's part of accepting also the will of God, that He has created me. I would want to be other kind of person. Maybe everyone would want to be another kind of person with a, I don't know, 1 foot taller or whatever. Blue eyes, big blue eyes. I mean, I don't know what people desire or want, but I mean, we are exactly how we are. And that is the first stage of my body. I mean, because if I don't accept my body and my story and the things, I cannot start a spiritual life, because that's the foundational will of God. What? That I am as I am. Not what I think about me. I mean, that is not nothing. And that brings me to first step of humility, because it's accepting yourself. A lot of anger that you get in your life and frustration is because you, or me, I am not accepting what is happening in my life, how weak I am here, how many times I failed there, how many, I always do the same mistakes. I mean, and that put us sometimes in anger, and how, that can show us how we are not accepting ourselves. And there is a second step, that is loving myself as I am. Because you love the others as you love yourself. God loves you because you exist, because you are loved. No? I mean, the reason you exist is because you are loved. All you being is as it is because it's loved by God. And it's loved by God in a personal way. It's not loved as a tree. So God, you as a person, is your whole being who is a person that is loved by God. So we trying to understand humility is trying to understand the love of God for us at the same time. According to Santa Teresa of Avila, the founder of the Carmelite, humility will have fullness in heaven when we see God face to face. Because in that moment, we will know who is Him and who am I, and how I depend on Him. How the dependence is total and radical and permanent. Because God is first cause of the whole universe. So I am second cause, even of my actions. And that is what means that. But that is more cause of my actions than myself. By the reason, when we sin, we are using what God has given to us for doing evil, which is horrible. Why? Because we use what God has given to you, your faculties, your capacities, your potentialities, your intelligence, your will, given by God for doing what is good, and using it for doing evil. Imagine the power here that we have. Because these things, now we can say, oh, I understand it, but one day we come to life, we want or want. I mean, that is the wrath of God. The wrath of God is not God get upset. The wrath of God is that the thing will happen according to the will of God. That is the wrath of God. And He's almighty. So you can imagine the whatever kind of power you want to imagine, pass it to infinite. And now, that day that God is wanting to bring things to light, things will come to light. We want, we don't want, we desire it, we get upset or we get angry, I mean. And in that moment that I'm coming to light, I mean, now they are talking about the warning, no? The other day I was talking with that warning, I mean, I don't know, I don't care. I mean, the warning is happening now. Because if I am living before God, I am, the warning is happening to me because I am trying to know myself before God and knowing how weak I am, how little I am for living in the truth, because that is a warning, you know, that he will bring us to the truth. Or what is our behavior, what is our stage of the soul, how we love. I mean, but a person who is looking for God is always there, at least trying to be there, but knowing himself. So the warning is for those who does and want to know. And the moment God wants to something happen, it will happen. And that is wrath, and that in that moment is not about what I want or what I don't want. I desire, no, because here we are big liars. That is the country of humility, and we are deceiving ourselves constantly and trying to deceive others by our appearance and trying that the others appreciate us, want us, look to us, glorify us, honor us, and all these things that we know. Why? Because we are not our weaknesses. The saints have a desire of being disdained by others. Why? Because they are stupid? No, because they know who are themselves. And they don't want nobody to praise them. Why? Because they know themselves. And they know who I am and how I act. I mean, so the thing is here that we are in a world that is all about lie, and Jesus came to bring the truth. But that we think of it sometimes in the truth of who is God, and in the truth of who am I. That is the truth that Jesus brings, not as a scientific truth. Why? Because salvation is coming to the truth. Because the truth is Jesus. So the love of God cannot be given out of the truth. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is coming from the Son and from the Father. For the truth is the Son. I mean, and it cannot be. St. Thomas Aquinas talked a lot about that. I mean, all the pretension of receiving the Holy Spirit without the truth. I mean, that can't happen. I mean, and that is what Jesus came to reveal us, that in the cross, and he came to give witness of the truth, yeah, and he came to this world for being, give testimony of the truth. And that is the reason he is king, and for this he has been born. For what? For being witness of the truth. And so accept the truth, come to him. But it's a truth that is simultaneous. It's the truth about God and about me. It's the truth about his law. It's about the truth about his mercy, that is Jesus crucified, and it's the truth of myself. So humility is, we will say, the key virtue that is born from faith. It's other, yes, it's other. It's called trust or confidence or hope. But they are always together. I mean, a person who is humble has always hope and trust and confidence. They cannot be separated, it's impossible. They are the two faces of a coin. So you cannot separate trust and humility. More humble is a person, more trust he has in God. More trust a person has in God, more humble is that person. This is the fullness is merit. In these two virtues. I mean, the answer of merit to the angel is that, is humility and trust. Humility is, behold, the handmaid of the Lord. So I am the servant of the Lord. I am nothing without the Lord. Here I am. And the second is, be done in me according to thy word. That is trust. So knowing the power of God and that God is going to do that. But the whole Christian life is founded in these two dimensions of the spiritual life. Humility and trust. It's the virtue for a child also that knows the love of his father, and knowing his love of the father, he knows that the Father loves him as he is, not that I would want to be. And because that is, and my weakness is not a problem for my God. So my sins are not, because he has come to save me as a sinner. And he has come to heal me as a physician. So this, my troubles are not a problem for God. For God is only one lies. Can be emotional lies, can be explicit lies, can be different kinds of lies. The worst are the emotional lies. So the thing that keep me thinking about me, that I am what kind of person that I am not. It's connected with the desire of being loved, it's connected with pride, it's connected with vanity, it's connected with a lot of things. And we can solve the problem, yes. I mean, so that is the reason spiritual life is about virtues, and one of the essential virtues that has to be growing always in a spiritual life is humility. According to St. John of the Cross, the union with God, the transformation union, the transformation in God and the soul by grace, by participation in the divinity, is accomplished when humility is in the fullness. So it's the total awareness in the spiritual and in the sensible level that only God is God and I am without Him nothing. So it's a kind of annihilation of my ego. Not that the person, because my person in that moment is in the union with God, or so he's transforming the maximum in the highest state a person can achieve in human history is the union with God, the transformative union with God, or the mystical marriage with God, or however you want to call it. But it's soul humility. Because even the dark nights of the flesh and the dark night of the spirit are self-knowledge. And that reason they are so painful. Why? Because I have to know myself. And I have to know who I am before God. But I insist, they are less painful in the more faith I have in the mercy of God. God lets sometimes that obscurity of my own behavior for knowing myself and purifying myself and opening more to His mercy. Because He loves me as I am. That is the first statement always of a spiritual life is the same. And we have to go back and again and again and again to the first principle. What? God loves me until the cross of His Son. That is the first meditation of the spiritual society that we have done several times, is believing in the love of God. If you don't believe in the love of God, the spiritual life is not working. The spiritual life is not about what I think, or no, it's about God. About opening my heart to the love of God and letting God to rule my life through His love. As all these days are talking to us, and the amazing readings are all about that. It's amazing. The power of the word of Jesus inviting us to live a different life. What? Eternal life. How? Through faith. Because the life of the Son and the Father and the Holy Spirit is eternal life. It's the life of the communion of the Holy Trinity. Is that we become insert in that life of God. That is Christian life. Is living already the life of heaven. Of course, in faith and hope, yes, and in charity. And that is the reason the transformation can be done. I mean, because the only one who can do that is God. That means to be in Jesus means to be in heaven. He is eternal life. The one who is in Jesus has eternal life. That was the reading this morning of the Divine Office of 1 John 5. I mean, He is eternal life. So being in Jesus means being in eternal life. Well, now, I mean that your life is hidden with God in Jesus. You have been put in heaven. I mean, this is not a physical thing. It's a spiritual thing because heaven, as we talked the other day, is not up there or down there. It's not elsewhere. No, it's not in other place, heaven. Heaven is a way of being, a way of existing in God, for God, and toward God. I mean, that is heaven. When a person is living in God, is in heaven. And that is a matter of the heart because externally I am here. And nobody can avoid that, but God is in your heart. So if I am with God, if I am in God, if I am in Ipso, it means that I am in heaven. Sharing with that, I mean, and Satan is going to try to bring us out of there. You know, the expression of Jesus today, again, as I was saying the other day, I mean, I am saying this thing that my joy being in you. And he's talking about the joy of the union with the Father. It's the beatific diction that Jesus had. According to St. Thomas Aquinas and other saints, always, even in the cross. Why? Because, I mean, it's the union with the Father. So heaven is not a place. It's a relationship. Clear? I mean, Christian life is all relationship. That reason, in prayer, if I'm not getting in a personal relationship with God, I'm not praying because I'm not coming to God. And I insist, when I am not being aware of His presence within me, okay, you will be reading a very good book, you will be thinking a lot, you will be, but you are not getting with God. I mean, you're not getting in a personal relationship with God. I mean, God acts in everything and everywhere and everyone who is wanting to open the thing. But that is not what he's calling us. He's calling to us to the union with him. So the intimacy with him that is transformative, unity, and brings all virtues with it. Why? Because it's God who is working. Yeah. And that is something that we are called to live in this life because we are called to holiness. So the only one who is holy is him, as we repeated it. So it's a matter of how I am letting him to work in me. And that is, I see, that is called humility. It is for letting God to be God and stop my feelings and my emotions and my thinking and my ways and the external problems to get my heart constantly and putting me into mourning and anxiety and anguish and fear and insecurity and a lot of things that never are coming from God. Why? Because my peace I give you, not that the world give you. Nobody will take you my peace. Yeah? Don't get troubled or fearful. Why? Because it's a matter of God, of action of God. But I need to, I don't like the word because it's not real, but crushing my ego. I mean, in some ways that, I mean, why? I have to crucify it. It's more beautiful, no? The expression of St. Paul. I am crucified with Christ. Yeah? For what? For living from his love. Because what separates me from God? My ego. That's what separates always me from God. But my ego, it's fair. Her expression is pride, because he's thinking that I can do something without God. And that the ego is founded, as we have talked several times, in the desire of being loved. So the egocentric behavior, there is a good ego, I mean the person, okay, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the flesh dimension, the self-centered dimension of our humanity. That is always there, and the only way of conquering it is crucifying with Christ. So dying to myself for living for God. So if I don't die to myself, I cannot live for God because myself is taking always the place of God. It's not giving room to God. It's all about me and my desires and my wishes and my worries and my problems and how I feel and how I don't feel and how this thing is coming and how the thing is going. It's self-centeredness, I mean. And we are called to live for another. That is what means to be a child. Who is the one who conquered the world? The one who believes, but the one who believes is the one who is begotten by God. So he's living for another. Being begotten means that others is begotten in me. So I am being born from another. I am being born from on high. I am being born from the Holy Spirit. I am being born from God. But that means that I stop living by myself and I am living for another. Why? Because the other is who is given being to the whole universe. So he's first cause of everything. But he has a dimension inside us, that is our spiritual life, that is in my consent. So in my humility and my trust. Because that's my consent. He's accepting who is him and who am I. That is what we do through these two virtues. Knowing who is his love, what is his power, and who am I, and now making myself before him according to who am I. Not according to my thinking or my feelings or my emotions or the reason, we need to crucify the ego. Why? Because it's not letting God to live in me. But this is the problem of the ego. It's not because I had to bother myself. No, it's for stop bothering yourself, for stop bothering those who are with you, for begin to love others as God loves you. But for that, I need to take myself from and letting now other. As Jesus, all is action of the Father, and Mary the same, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Why? Because all is moved by the action of other. So the spiritual level is living from other. If I am not living from other, I am not in the spiritual level. I'm in the psychological level, thinking a lot, and now pondering things. Okay, very good, but that is not the spiritual level. Spiritual level, only God is a spirit, and he's a spirit. So and spirit means communion of three. So in the moment that I'm not in a communion and one who is origin without origin, that is the Father, I'm not living as his child, I am in the egocentric behavior that everyone is living. Whatever appearance within I can be, the appearance of being the best guy and very smiling and very kind and very soft, and it's all ego. Why? Because I am looking for being loved by others. I'm not living from the love of others. It's all for showing off. to the others, and they see me and they want me, and they are very people that are very with a lot of qualities. You can see even founders of religion, I mean, are theirs. Amazing guys. I mean, the power they have before other people, but they have to be very nice and very kind. But you know, when they come out, the problems that they have in their sexual, what was that? I mean, so the point here is, this is not about what the other thinks about me, it's how I am living from God. This is the point of the whole thing. I mean, and humility is letting other to be God and stop me pretending to be God, because you know, original sin is that. And that is in every human being with a strong tendency. Even I don't recognize it in my head, because it's tough to say I want to be God, but in your desires and your feeling, when you are living by yourself, you are pretending that you're good, and that can happen to things, that you are getting in a depression because you are seeing you, or you are getting in more pride, and because you are thinking that you are, and that is what many people are, that kind of pride. I mean, but it's the same thing. I mean, it's this about his love, and his love has to be received. So it has to be understood that I don't have love that is humility. Without me, you can do nothing. John 15:5. I mean, when that phrase is truly in my heart and deeply in my heart, in that moment, I mean, what I know, that without him, I can do nothing. About what? About love, of course. I can do a lot of things. It's true that the love creation, if God could not stop giving or the capacity, I would not be able to do nothing. Mm-hmm. So it's true that even in the level of nature, that without God I can do nothing. But I think Jesus in that statement is referring to the love, because all the text is about love. Remain in my love, as the Father loved me, so I love you. I am the vine, you are the branches. I mean, my Father is the pruner. The one who caught the for purifying it and bringing it for more fruit, because the joy of God, the glory of God, is that we bear fruit and fruit in abundance. But that is coming from him also. Why? Because everything is coming from God. That is the point. I mean, this is the whole thing of salvation. This, that God is God, and he's the giver of everything to everyone. We don't have nothing, any one of us, that is not coming from. But we boast, you know, the expression of St. Paul. I mean, what do you boast? And if you receive it, what are you doing? I mean, the one who boasts, boasts in the Lord. Why? Because the things that we are and we have are coming from God. So humility is coming to the reality of who is God and who I am. And there is total peace, there is total joy, there is constant refresh of the Holy Spirit. Because in the humble heart, God is always exalting him through his graces. Because God exalts the humble, but disdains the prideful. Here the point is that it is a distance that is very easy to go to pride. And pride is me pretending to be what I am not. It's thinking of me in a way that is not the real way. Because I don't want to accept my reality. What, that I depend on others? Is a challenge. We are in a society, the books, I mean, the reality is other. This guy was self-sufficient, man. I mean, this is one of the most stupid things. We are codependent, every human being, from childhood to death. I mean, but we don't recognize it, because if there is our pride, I mean, not recognizing that we depend on others. We depend totally on others. I mean, in 99% of things that you do, you are dependent. I mean, we need other people. We are co-protagonists, but not protagonists in whatever you do in your life. That is even McIntyre, is a famous philosopher, American philosopher, talk about return to virtues and all these things. We talk about that, the co-protagonist. I am never, ever a lone protagonist of my life. Why? Because we are humans and we develop in the measure we are with others. Yeah? And our humanity grows in the measure we are able to be with others and grow with others, yeah? In our relationships. So that's an idea of I am the protagonist of my life, and it's a little movie thing. Why? Because we depend on others for having love, especially from God, I mean, but also human beings. The good of the humble thing is that humility is connected with love. So the goal is not humility, the goal is love. But only the humble person can love. That is what Jesus came to teach us in this world. So if we are to sum up what Jesus came to, he's teaching us the connection between humility and love. Because love is giving my life for others, and that means a lot of humility. Why? Because I love more than me. That is what Jesus did for us. That is the reason the expression of the Eucharist is the humility of Jesus. I mean, the Eucharist is the humble gift of God, being there himself, giving himself totally in a humble disposition that cannot be more humble. I mean, a piece of, if he was humble in his body all along his life, being God, learn from me that I am humble and meek of heart. I mean, the humility of God in the Eucharist, making himself a piece of bread that we can, I take, as a priest, I consecrate it, and God comes there because my words are pronounced over the bread and the wine. I mean, with the intention of the church, of course. Because it's not something that someone has by his own. But I mean, it's a humble God. I mean, because in the Last Supper is the same thing. What means that? That is the lavatory, the washing of the feet. What is the meaning of that? Why? Because God in the last place, that is the Eucharist. The Eucharist is God in the last place, a server of all. I mean, this is not an idea or a thinking, no. This old chapter 13 of St. John. It's all about that and only that. And now given the commandment of love, but the commandment of love is love each other as I love you. But how I love you? Being the last. But who else of is wanting to be the last? Who else of is wanting to be the server of all? But that is the place where it's God. It's the only place where it's God. That is the point, I mean. Because Jesus came to teach us where is God and where is not God. And he came to teach us there that God is in the last place as the server of all, because he has come not to be served, but to serve and give his life in rescue for many. You know, this was when they were arguing who was the greatest of the apostles. So in a prideful arguing, discussion, who was the greatest of them and who is going to be the first. And that happens several times. I mean, the synoptics are in several texts, but in some of them is repeated. What? This arguing. And in the moment Jesus is announcing his passion and his suffering, is when they talk about these things. And Jesus said, you want to be the first? Be the last. You want to be the greatest? Be the server of all. Be the slave of all. See what he said. Why? Do you think that Jesus is saying that for body and us? No, because God, there is God in super abundance. But the person who doesn't want to be with God, where? In the last place, on the server of all. And you are there and you don't have any problem. Never. You want to be in the last place and to be the least, never you will have a problem. Because nobody will take you that place. Nobody will fight with you for taking you that place. You know, it's there, but it's accepting the truth. I mean, it's only that. But it's for love. I mean, I cannot love if I pretend to be before you. Why? Because now I am pretending to be before you. So my love is a kind of showing off to you, or my love is bringing you to a higher level, showing you your dignity and your greatness because you are worthy as goal of my behavior. And that is the only love that exists. And attachments came from our loneliness and our fear of being lonely. Love is to give my life to others so that others can live from me. And that's what Jesus did, I mean, and that is a definition of love that is in 1 John 3:16. In this we know what is love, in that he gave his life up for us. So we have to give our lives up for our brothers and sisters. That is the, it's easy to remind because it's John 3:16. It's the same text. So much the Father loved the world that he gave his Son for us. That is the love of the Father, giving his very life to us. And God is humble. I mean, God is a humility that we can only, that's the reason he's hidden, always hidden. I mean, he doesn't want to manifest. But Mary, you know, the humility of Mary is of merit. So we have, what I am trying is to correct the idea of humility. Because we have some kinds of thinking about humility, that is being a weak person or being a person. No, the humble is the strongest person. He has no fear to anyone because he's always with God. So I face everything. I mean, that doesn't mean that I have to let everything happen and let it go. No, that is not humility. Humility is being in the power of God always. That is humility. Because as Mary, full of grace, the Almighty has done great things for me. And she's aware always of being with the Almighty. But I mean, who, what fear can I have a person that is there? So it's very important understanding this matter of humility, because it's, I would say, it's the key expression of, you know, in both things, there are, you know, even if you have the same scriptures, and like, because I want to repeat a lot of things that are very, very important. Some texts are here that I think is key for understanding spiritual life, understanding the action of God in our soul. That depend totally on humility. As Jesus said several times, I mean, and he says humility is not that, humility is that I recognize who am I before God and what can I do what I want to God? What is my selfishness, maybe, or my pride or my vanity? But I accept them, I recognize them before God. I'm not refusing them, I have them, okay, I have them, but I need his love for being healed. So the humble person is always accepting what is happening inside him and not lying to himself. It's accepting whatever is in my heart that is not according to what I would want about me. Because I would want to be more patient. Yes. I would want to be more intelligent. Yes, but I'm not. I would want to be with better memory. Yes, but I'm not. I mean, it's this kind of thing that, and I insist this point has two levels. I don't like to talk much about this, but I mean, one level is the level of a spiritual pride, that is thinking about me what I am not. I mean, it's very stupid, but it's called pride. Why? Because it's thinking that I am greater than what I am, and I am lying to myself, or to whom I am lying. I mean, because vanity is wanting the others think about me that I am wonderful and marvelous and the best. That is vanity. But pride is more about me thinking highly and boasting about me. Has expressions outside. I mean, there are a lot of, because it's a very, and this can happen two things. Was a spiritual choice, so I want it. It's called pride, a sin. It's the satanic sin that is not wanting to recognize the truth. And the other is the neurotic behavior, because all neurotics is in a kind of pride. It's not guilty, that is very clear. And that can happen. A lot of people who suffer a lot with this behavior of pretending to be what they are not. I mean, for being a sin, you need to be aware and wanting it. So you have to have knowledge and wanting it. So there are many people that is their own psychological problems from childhood. I mean, because especially if you were not truly loved by my parents, I mean, that makes a lot of problems in accepting myself. Because now I need to be perfect. If they are going to love me, I need to do the things right. I need to be correct. I need to be that my dad say me, okay, good boy, you have done it well. I mean, and that is something that a lot of people have, is that craving for being loved. And now they need to be perfect, because if I fail, they don't love me. So I need to be perfect. And that is a problem that is in education of children that is very serious, right? Because many children have that desire of being perfect because they don't receive love freely. So they don't feel that they are loved for what they are. They feel that they are loved for what they do. But that is functionality. That is not true love. Because the parents also are weak and they love in the ways they... I mean, a person who has not very clear God, his love is very weak and very little. But because he loves according to the reaction of the other person. And that is not the love of God. God loves me always. But he loves me, me. He loves me as a person. He loves me as a goal for him. And that is loving a person. It's understanding that the other person is a gift. And it's a gift. Whatever is the situation, whatever is happening, so I always respect the person. I can correct the person. If I am a father, I am called to correct the person, but always love first. Because if not, the child is understanding that I don't love him, or I love him when I am doing what is right. And that happened a lot of people in this society. A lot is thousands of millions, I would say. Why? Because parents are not very good Christians. So now they react in the natural way of doing things. And now we are always looking for love. I mean, we are worried always about that finding love, I mean, in our lives. And I see this is connected with the country of humility that is the first thing I talk. I mean, I have to accept myself as I am. Not wanting, because it's the only way that another people can love you in humility. The good of, this is an expression of a priest that I knew that was very holy. He passed away last month, a Jesuit. He said, the person who is humble loves everyone and everyone loves him. Okay. I mean, love is founded in humility because it's founded in reality. How there, if I understand myself as a gift, how I am going to live in pride. I mean, but you cannot, if you don't understand yourself as a gift, and this is the first point of this process of humility. Why? Because if you understand yourself as a gift, you are always looking for love aside. But for understanding yourself as a gift that is connected with your father and your mother, and we are not blaming anyone, but it's connected in the psychological level with our parents. So we need to open that original desire of being loved, because we need love, to God. Because if not, I continue living in the psychological and neurotic level of the person that is looking for love outside. I mean, test yourself, test your head, what is happening in your head, how you are thinking in relationship with other people, what they think about you, how they look about you, what. Try to know your ways of acting. It's very important. Why? Because it's who you think, what you think about you. But nobody can go there except you. And there you can become humble. Because I mean, our ego is huge. So every day you can take advantage and grow in humility more than you want. In the humble person, the poor, is always full by the grace of God. Because the kingdom of God is of the poor. So, but if we understand that poverty of love, and I insist, understanding myself as a gift can be only in one way, because there is a giver. It's clear, I cannot understand myself as a gift if there is not a giver. It has no sense. I mean, it's true that our parents give us a kind of, in the psychological level, a kind of experience of being a gift for them. That is the mission of parents. But they love us because loving a person and being a person and being a gift is the same thing. But it means a lot of humility. Father is giving what I am. I mean, and that is the point of here, of the point of I am love, but I am love as I am, not as I would want to be. And as I am a gift as I am, not as I would want to be. I mean, it's accepting reality. I insist the concepts are very basic and very fundamental, but they are very powerful. Why? Because they are about the depth of reality and how I am coming to the mystery of God in the simplicity of life, so in the reality of my life. And that means that I have to accept that. I mean, the expression Jesus this morning, those who you have given me as a gift. So he, Jesus understand us as a gift of the Father for him. I mean, you are a gift for God. The moment you are not living that, you are not living as a person. Now you are living in your head. So first thing I go is the connection between humility and the desire of being. Clear the point? I mean, it's very important. Why? Because in the moment you are not in that humility of opening to God, because God exalts the humble and gives his grace and his love and his Holy Spirit to the humble, I am in the desire of being loved outside. And now it's all egocentric. And pride necessarily is ruling my behavior. Because now I need to think highly about me. Because if not, how they are going to love me if I am not this perfect person that I am. Mean? So it's a problem that is there. But it's all thinking. And you pay attention to what is happening in your life. It's all thinking. It's all thinking that I am. I mean, you are not going to be loved with what you think. You are loved by what you are. And that's one of the biggest problems of this society. People are accumulating things because they don't think that nobody is going to love them by what they are. The peace of being loved by God. The fullness of knowing that I am loved by him and I am always in his love. I mean, but that is a lot of humility because accepting my reality, it's accepting what I am and what I have, whatever is my age, whatever is my situation, is the acceptance. And see, you can go deeper. It's loving what he's given me because God loves it. And it's coming from his divine will. So the fundamental will of God in my life is my being, obviously. Now there is his plan of holiness. But in the moment I'm that fundamental reality that I am exactly as I am is not accepted, nothing else can work in a spiritual life. But because all is founded in a lie of my head, it's not founded in the reality of who I am. And that reason, humility is the foundation of all virtues. An expression of San Augustine, but there's a expression that the church uses also. But the, you know, for building a house, the most important thing is the foundation, and that is humility. Because it cannot be any virtues without humility. In fact, San Augustine says that the virtues of the pagans are full of pride. So they are vices, he said. Exactly that. They are vices. Why? Because it's all about thinking me before the others. It's the showing off. It's what the others think about me. But this deep thing that we have of the desire being loved make us in some way a slave of others. And not in some way, because always worry about what the others, if I have the body correct, if I have the, you know, this worry is founded in that. It's all founded in the desire of being loved. But here, the point is that through humility, I can come to love. I'll live a different way of life, that is being a child of God. So being independent on others. And I don't depend on what the people think about me or what the people opinion about me. And that gives you the freedom of the children of God. But there are those who are born from God, not from the flesh and not from the blood and no human desire, but from God. Now, that is the first statement of Saint John in his gospel. I mean, that those who believe, believing is not believing thing. Believing is believing in the love of my Father, that was manifested in the cross of his Son, and now living from his love, from his Holy Spirit, if you want to say in other words. But it's the same. I mean, it's a disposition of the heart that I understand that I need other for being myself. It's clear. And the point here is our relationship with our parents, that we want to be independent. And with our parents, we need to be independent because our parents cannot give what you need. But we become independent of our parents for coming to God. So, and the process God has given us in our life is why? when a child start to become independent. He's 12, because effectively is the first stage of independence. But now what is happening? They are a slave of the world. What is the independence they get? So it's true that we need to get independent of our parents for opening to the freedom of the children of God and being the person that we are called, because if not, we are a slave of the world. We have things, we think that I am wonderful, and now pride is ruling a lot of people. I mean, I am tall, or I have money, or I have a career. I mean, you are exactly what you are, and the measure of you being is your love. That is the measure of you. But it's coming from God, so we are here in a real problem. So here I want to quote Santa Teresa of Avila, that is here in the paper I gave you. So, let it not force itself to remain for very long in the same mansion. Even that of self-knowledge. Mark well, however, that self-knowledge is indispensable, even for those whom God takes to dwell in the same mansion with himself. Nothing else, however elevated, perfects the soul, which must never seek to forget its own. My own nothingness before God. I am what I am because God has given me what I am. And that is humility. And what he talk is, self-knowledge is of such consequence that it would not have you careless of it. Though you may be lifted to heaven in prayer, because while on earth, nothing is more needful than humility. And here is how your humility comes and is learned. I believe we shall never learn to know ourselves except by endeavoring to know God. For beholding his greatness, we are struck by our own baseness. His purity shows our fullness. And by we find how very far we are from being humble. Here come a thing that is a little tough. If you understand the things in your thinking, if you understand the things in God, it's not so tough. It's an expression of her that is in the dwellings, in the second dwelling. Once, while I was wondering why our Lord so dearly loves the virtue of humility, I mean, this is something that is also in Catherine of Siena, the same, almost the same words, little nuances of different, but it's almost the same. I was wondering why our Lord so dearly loves the virtue of humility. The thought suddenly struck me with this, she's meaning, as explains in the rule of discernment, that something is coming, boom, like you can, is getting you with the power of God, without previous reflection. So that it is because God is supreme truth and humility is the truth. For, and here comes a little tough thing, but I think it's, for it is most true that we have nothing good of ourselves, but only misery and nothingness. Whoever ignores this lives a life of falsehood. They that realize this fact most deeply are the most pleasing to God, the supreme truth, for they walk in the truth. God grants, he's talking to the sisters, that we may have the grace never to lose this self-knowledge. There's an identification always in Santa Teresa of Avila between self-knowledge and humility. Because it's the truth, I mean, knowing myself is humility. but cannot be before God, as he was explaining before, very clear. And Madre Teresa is talking about, and I like this, the connection between humility and prayer. So if I am praying and I'm not growing in humility, maybe I'm not praying. Here it is. Be sincere in your prayers. Do you pray your prayers for you, God, or you are saying things? Do you know how to pray? Do you love to pray? Sincerity is nothing but humility. And you acquire humility only by accepting humiliations. I will put this in a rule of gold. I mean, in letters of gold. Humility, and you acquire humility only by accepting humiliations. You don't need to look for weird humiliations. I insist, the problem is that because we are living in pride, we don't get the humiliations that are happening to us every day. And we don't accept them, and so we are not growing, because for growing in a virtue, you need to choose it. What? To accept the humiliation. It's clear the point here is very important, because I mean, you can grow in humility and you can grow in the knowledge of God, that is the same thing, and in the graces of God. But if I am not taking advantage of the humiliation that every human being has to pass every day, means that I am not looking for God, because I am not coming to the truth of myself. So, and you acquire humility only by accepting humiliation. All that has been said about humility is not enough to teach you humility. All that you have read about humility is not enough to teach you humility. This is Madre Teresa, Calcutta. You learn humility only by accepting humiliations. And it's a powerful text. I mean, this woman was amazing. And you will meet humiliation all through your lives. I mean, getting old is a humiliation of every day. But do we accept that? The greatest humiliation is to know that you are nothing. He's repeating the same thing as Santa Teresa, in other words. This, that you are nothing, this you come to know when you face God in prayer. That is the reason he was asking, are you praying? So are you coming to God in your prayer? I would say, are you making the prayer box? The first step, coming to God, and knowing who is he and who are you? Because that is humiliating always. I mean, it's knowing that he has all power, and what power I have? He has all wisdom, and what is the wisdom I have? He has all love, and what is the love I have? So is that putting before God is understanding? I mean, he's the giver of being and existence, and we live, exist, and we in him. I mean, sometimes this is a problem of pride is the root of all sins with selfishness. They are always together. And so the problem of a spiritual life is this problem. And that is the reason the saints make decisions for and being humiliated. When you come face to face with God, you cannot but know that you are nothing, that you have nothing by yourself. I mean, in the silence of the heart, God speaks. You face God in prayer and silence, God will speak to you. Then you will know that you are nothing. It is only when you realize your nothingness, your emptiness, that God can fill you with himself. I repeat it. It is only when you realize your nothingness, your emptiness, when God can fill you with himself. And he wants to do that, but he needs that I come to the truth of myself. Now talks about the effects of this. When you become full of God, you will do all your work well, all of it wholeheartedly. We have our four vow, this talking to us here, of wholehearted service. It means to be full of God. And when you are full of God, you will do everything well. This you can do only if you pray, if you know how to pray, if you love prayer, and you pray well. I mean, prayer is for getting help, for being fooled by God. And now depend on us, I mean, on how we are growing in this virtue that is so precious, that when he talk about him, learn from me that I am humble. He can say all the virtues, because he has all the virtues in fullness. But he didn't say all the virtues. He said this one. But he's talking about the revelation of God in that moment, you know, though. I mean, I give you thanks, Father, because you have hidden these things to the learned and the clever, so those who think that they are something. Yeah? And you have revealed to the merest children, yes, Father, this is your will. And nobody knows the Father except the Son, and nobody knows the Son except the Father. And you know, these are the contraries. And nobody knows the Father except the Son, and the one the Son wants to reveal him. And now talk about humility. Come to me and learn from me, okay, that I am gentle and humble of heart, and you will find peace in your heart. But he's talking about this in that opening to God, I mean, learning the mystery, revelation of the mystery of God to us. So I insist in this point because I think it's very important to understand that Jesus has come to teach us love, but there is no love without humility. And here again, go Mother Teresa. There is so much unhappiness, so much misery everywhere. Our human nature stays with us from beginning to end. We must work hard every day to conquer ourselves. We must learn to be meek and humble of heart. Let us try to give everything to Jesus, every word, every moment. Jesus, use my eyes, my ears, my feet. My resolution must be firm to become a saint. I mean, at the same time, he's talking about this, he's talking about that. I mean, he's talking, God, let me, but Jesus, use my eyes. Jesus, use my ears. Jesus, use my feet. Yeah. So that is becoming a saint. It's letting him to work in us. Come to the same thing as Santa Teresa of Avila. Jesus said, learn of me. In our meditation, we should always say, Jesus, make me a saint according to your own heart, meek and humble. We must respond in the spirit in which Jesus meant us to respond. We know him better now through meditation and the study of the gospel, but have we really understood him in his humility? Does this humility appeal to us, attract us? Humility is nothing but truth. What with God that we have not received, as St. Paul. If I have not received anything, what good have I on my own? So here the point is understanding the for the saint importance, whatever spiritual man. I mean, in fact, the higher is the level, the more is the humility. And all the grace gifts of God and graces of God, whatever is extraordinary or whatever, it's always accompanied by humility. If not, it's not from God. It's clear the thing. I mean, Santa Teresa repeated that, has repeated that a lot of times in his books of prayer. Why? Because, I mean, you can understand the worst thing a person can happen if he's in a spiritual life is thinking that he's better than the others because it's a pure gift of God. So it's getting in some kind of pride before the others. And now, as you can understand, God is going to stop whatever kind of he's going to that first. Why? Because thinking me that I'm better than others, that I am better in prayer, that I have more graces of God, that I have whatever. I mean, always the graces of God are accompanied with huge humiliation. Why? Because it makes me know who is him and who am I. That is humility. Santa Teresa is talking about that. And Mother Teresa is saying, when you come to prayer, so knowing who is God and who am I, you will be humble. But the problem is that we don't know who is God and who am I, and that now we are pretending to be God in our heads and sometimes in our will, in our behavior. So, you are humble, nothing will touch you. Neither praise nor disgrace, because you know what you are. That is the one of the effects of humility, is the peace of the heart always. I mean, and that is a big gift of God. Yes. I want to quote, here's an Ignatius, you have it in red. This is something that is in the constitution of the Jesuits. I don't know if they have taken it away because I'm not saying that it's working very well. But was is in the constitution, original constitution of Saint Ignatius. And what I want is that we understand what he's saying. I mean, how powerful is this in a spiritual life? What to make decisions about this? I mean, now you can continue following my ego, my feelings, my emotions, my whatever, and you will never stop them. And you will ask, where is God? But God, the problem is that he is in the humble heart. And when I know myself, I try to correct it. You see, if I am a little fat, I try to eat less. If I don't correct it, because I think I am not going to solve the problem. In some way, disdaining food is so good. So more you disdain food, less hunger you have, right? Because it's the psychological thing that brings you there. It is very important for those who examine the soul, so those who are trying to be holy, to know how great help and how big improvement, so how great help and how big improvement is in the spiritual life to abhor and detest totally and not partially what the world loves and embraces, and accept and desire with all their strength. You know the expression that he's using of totality? Not partially, totally and not partially. I mean, he can say only totally, because we know that totally is not partially, but he's repeating. So he's a master of a spiritual life. He founded the majority of them were saints, very close and mystics. I mean, why? Because he was a great director of spiritual hearts. I mean, and accept and desire with all their strength what Christ our Lord has loved and embraced. So as the worldly people, mundane, worldly people who follow the world, love and seek with so much diligence and effort, honors, fame, and estimation of their good name in the earth, as the world teaches them. And now hear what is we can do in our hearts. So those who move in the spirit and truly follow Jesus Christ, our Lord and Master, love and desire intensely. Quite the contrary. That is, the desire and love as Jesus, because of the reverence and love they have, and he put here a clarification where don't may be offense to God nor a scandal to the neighbor, to suffer insults, defamations, false testimony, outrage, and be considered and esteemed as crazy. Don't give in then occasion for it, because of the desire of look like and imitate in some way our God, Creator and Lord, living and passing what he has lived and passed, since he has passed it for our spiritual growth, giving us an example, so that in all possible things, with his divine grace, we desire to imitate and follow him, as he is the way that leads men to life. A powerful text. Okay. I mean, what he's saying, you can choose. That is what he's saying. You can choose to keep yourself in your egocentric behavior, all you along your life, your pride and vanity, and looking for things, or you can choose the way of Jesus and conquering everything, because it's total freedom. Because when I don't care about what the world thinks about me, I'm in total freedom. It's clear the point. And that is our fears, what they're going to think about me, what is in the name, how these people like me, how these people react before here, and you are a slave totally of the people around you. And you are not free for proclaiming the gospel, you are not free for giving witness of your Lord. And because the knowledge of God is coming when I want to follow Jesus in the way he took. And I insist, because here comes again the thing. Is not what is going to happen. Saint Ignatius was the founder. We were not so bad for him. Is what is happening in my heart and what I am looking for. And God, knows that. It's clear the point here. I mean, I don't know what is going to happen. Maybe I have Pell, the Australian bishop, scandal and defamation and all these things. But I think he has part of this. I mean, he has lived with that quite tranquil, calm, conscious, according to what he has written. I mean, but what happened? If you are not here, you get anger, rage, fury, revenge, accusing others. I mean, peace, the only way of being always in peace. Why? Because they are not going to honor you always. They're going to treat you always according to you think they should be. And you see, all the time you are upset and angry because of that. Because somebody is looking at you, is making a cut commentary about you, is making some kind of looking to you in a way that is not making you important, or is disdaining you, or they are not counting with you, or and you can go the long list of things that you read the litany of humility. And there are all these things inside there. But I mean, the theme here is how great help and how big improvement is in a spiritual life. I mean, this guy knows a lot. He has such consolation and action of God in his life all along his life after his conversion. Why? His ego-centric self-being, and he knows it, that he was facing that because he was a vain man looking for honor. That is the way he defined himself before his conversion. Vain man looking for honor. As you ask me, you are looking for honor. The people appreciate me as a priest, and I will preach. And I am living here, and there are not people sad. Our stupidity surpass our understanding. Why? Because it's there. I mean, it's all this is ridiculous. I can be with God and in fullness of this. And instead of thinking what the other think about me. That is the problem. I mean, test yourself. How many times along the day you are there thinking about what the other think about you, especially when you are doing things, I mean, relationships, in work, working. I mean, test yourself. And that is a way of coming where? To the freedom of Jesus, to the freedom of being always with God. I mean, you know, they're saying, this is an expression of Saint Nature that is in the book of the spiritual exercises. It's just in the change of the second week to the third week. Yeah. It's these things that the saints say that we don't like because we are in a society of self-gratification. And there is an infinite gratification. It's called God. But we need to choose him before our self ways and selfish ways of acting and desiring. For let each one think that he will benefit himself in all the spiritual things, so you will have enjoy all the spiritual things, in proportion as he goes out of his self-love, will and in. Why? Because the spiritual life is coming to the will of God. So that's in proportion. So you will, the experience, the benefits himself in the spiritual life in proportion as he goes out, so he denies his self-love, his will and interest. I mean, this is not a very, this is not for putting it in an advertisement. Because people don't understand who is God and people are not looking for God. And I hope that every one of you are, as me, also I try to look for God, but he's making the steps there. So I want to go to the quickly to the three steps. Very simple. Have a dialogue with Mary. I love her. And you have here the meditation. You can do it knowing the importance of humility, but St. Ignatius, what identify is humility with love. That is what is here. It's an identification of love and humility. So it don't make any difference because I am reading it and it says, he's talking about love. Why he talk about the three degrees of humility? Because it's about love. Or love is something that I add. It's not in St. Ignatius. And it is the three grades of humility. Or love is something I have added there. Yeah. And you have here some a lot of text. I mean, first grade of humility. The first manner of humility is necessary for eternal salvation. Namely, that I so lower and so humble myself as much as possible that everything I obey the law of God, even if they made me Lord of all the created things in the world, or even for my own temporal life, I would not be in deliberation about breaking a commandment, whether divine or human, which binds me under mortal sin. And that's the first degree of humility, is that I don't even deliberate or think about whatever things, even they make me king of everything, I mean, and give me all the things of the world. I will not even deliberate about breaking a commandment, whether divine or human, which binds me under mortal sin. We can bring here the expression of Jesus that is coming today or tomorrow. In First John is, I mean, you love me if you obey my commandments. That is something that maybe the Protestant has forgotten. I mean, that is something, but maybe also Catholics sometimes. I mean, because how am I going to love God if I don't do His will? But you call me Lord, Lord, if you don't do what I say to you. This is for the love of God. This is chapter 5, first letter of St. John, chapter 5. Verse 3. For the love of God is this, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not burdensome. For whoever is begotten by God conquers the world. So he's talking about faith. It's a person who is living from God. For a person who is not living from God, of course, the commandments are burdensome. But now depend on us. So second degree of humility is about the same thing, Benny has seen. It's more perfect of humility and love than the first. Namely, if I find myself at such, this is amazing. This guy, what he's saying here is amazing. I mean, because I feel so far. I mean, and he's talking about the second degree. So the first is not deliberating even whatever is coming in about a mortal sin. If I find myself at such a state that I do not want and feel no inclination to have riches rather than poverty, so it's, you know, it's the, this is the principle and foundation, first meditation, to want honor rather than dishonor, to desire long rather than a short life, the service of God, our Lord, and the salvation of my soul being equal, and so not for all creation, nor because they will take away my life, with I being deliberation about committing a venial sin. So it's putting a situation of holiness that is, I will not do a venial sin. I mean, even whatever is coming, even I lose my honor or dishonor, or so I have to be such in love with God. Because this is all about love to God, I mean, as you can understand. And the third, that is something that is connected with what we read before, surpass totally our ways of thinking and our ways of human acting. The third is most perfect humility, namely, when including the first and second, and the praise and glory of divine majesty being equal. So you are in a situation that everything is the same. I mean, you, it's not for more glory of God. In order to imitate and be more actually like Christ our Lord, I want and choose poverty with Christ, poverty rather than riches, humiliation with Christ rather than honors, and to desire to be rated as worthless and a fool for Christ, who first was held as such rather than wise or prudent in this world. And that is the reason these guys are so holy, because they put Jesus first in everything and they want to be with Jesus everywhere and in everything. And they get holiness so quickly. Right? Because they face their ego, because you don't understand all these things. What is the problem? My self-love. That is the only problem that is here. And when we face it directly, because he's facing our ego, we are there. Because, you know, the action of God is supreme word in the cross. The manifestation of the power, wisdom, and love of God. In a world that these things are happening, we become Christian because we are different, because we are able to face everything in the love of God. Because that cannot happen without the love of God. I mean, you know, I can hear from people's alive. This, I mean, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is begotten by God. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is begotten by God. So maybe something in my faith is not so well. Why? Because believing is being begotten by God, is living a life for another. That is believing. Is being in Christ. That means being in Christ. I mean, being in Christ is not an idea. It's that he's the Son of God and he's eternally begotten. So if I go in the divine person of Jesus, what happened? That I need to be begotten, because the person of Jesus is begotten. Or I am in my thinking and I am not in God, but if I am in God, I have to be begotten. And that means faith, living for another. And now the things are easy. Why? Because Jesus conquered the world, because he faced all these things in the love of the Father, in the power of God. Because that is the power that conquered the world. What? Our faith. Because the one who believes from God. And now these things are of everything is God, the glory of God and the honor of God, and bringing the people to God. And you know, these guys, when they are here, people are amazed. But these decisions of our heart, I mean, I always read them. I feel, and here you have a very good in the paper here. You have here on the bottom a very good statement of St. Ignatius about acting against my desires. That is the contrary of psychology, yes, because psychology is all about the ego, and this is about love. This is about the spiritual life, this is about God, and letting God to be God in my heart. If I don't take away the expression of St. Paul, is you prefer it? Very good. I am crucified through faith, because it's not who I am living. It's Jesus who is living in me. I live from the love of God that suffer from the love that suffer and that feeds. I mean, that is faith. Faith is not any other thing. It's living from the love of Father. But I have to take away the things that are always taking me away from the love of Father. And I insist the greatest attraction and thing that is taking you always from the love of God is your desire of being loved. Your desire of being honored, your desire of being wanted, your desire of being recognized, your desire of being valued. And these guys, boom, go there and finish with it. Why? Because they want to live from God, from the Holy Spirit, not from their ego, selfish-centered behavior. But if you don't do nothing, we'll keep you always there, because you are not dying with Christ for living for God. That is dying. Dying to what? My ego, that is always taking the place of God. So this dying is not a physical thing. I mean, it will be a physical thing the day God calls us, but you know, baptism is a sacramental thing that brings us to dying with Christ, being consepulchered with Christ. So putting in a true thing and live now a new life, that is the life that I have to die. And that's what they are, in a very concrete way, facing that dying to myself. Because there, all graces and gifts of God are there. But we need to die, because God is not going to give something to that egocentric person who is going to be confused himself, getting in more pride, and now thinking that he or she is very good. This is a pure gift of the love of God. For everyone who is humble, and these guys take the way of humility, because, I mean, you know, when you humble, God exalts you, and Jesus, who humbled himself, emptied himself, and made himself obedient until the cross, imagine the humiliation, he was exalted above all names in heaven and on earth. Why? Because it's the way God works, through humility. So humility is coming to let God be God, because these things, I don't know what is going to happen in my life, but if I have this person there,
and you are with Jesus, nobody can separate you a second from that, right? Because your heart is totally attached in love to Him, not to you. That is where we are, attached to love to Me. But things can change, that's the good news. So making choices, because what is going to happen, we don't know. But what I can change my heart, I know, because it's in my dispositions, it's in my decision. So when you are there, you conquer everything, and nobody can touch you, and you have fear to anyone. Why? Because you are fear to anyone. And all this fearful society is a manifestation of the absence of God, even of Catholics. Well, because a person who is with God has no fear to anything, even to die. And maybe, you know, if I love God a little, I want a little to be with God. If I love God a little, I have a little more desire of being. If I love God with all my heart, all my strength, all my being, and all my soul, I want to die. Because I want to see God. I mean, it's a burden of love, of course. I mean, because when you love God, God gives Himself to you. Because it is a matter of encountering love. But He's the giver, and I cannot give Him love if He's not giving me love. Because He's the giver of everything, especially of love. And it's given by the Holy Spirit that is called charity. And only the humble heart can be in that disposition of receiving from it. So that is the reason the saints make so strong decision. All the saints have come here. I mean, I don't know. There were some expressions of some saints that I took because of the space, but it's really, really, really powerful of some the one we celebrate today, Assis and Rita. No, Rita also. I mean, but all saints have made such decisions in the way of humility. That is because they understand their ego, and they understand that if I don't take away my ego, I'm not going to get in the union with God. Not for bothering myself, it's because they want God and to find God in fullness. He wants to give Himself to you in fullness, but depend on your choices. And especially each one has to know what are the things that separate me from God and facing them. Facing them. Because He wants to give Himself to you without measure. I mean, He has created you for being in the fullness of Him, in the fullness of Christ, who fulfill all things of heaven and on earth. And in Him is all fullness. If you don't have that, it's because you are not choosing God. Because all this is about our choices. In the grace of God, of course, but God can give us the life. First of all, I talk about that. I mean, for making these decisions, that if you talk about this also, San Ignatius, the same thing, you need to have big graces of God. But I assure you, God wants to give you those graces. Move your heart and you will experience them. And try to believe in the masters of spirituality, and that one of them, the greatest, is San Ignatius, and you will see how God works in you. When you do whatever these little things of moving your heart toward following Jesus and wanting to be where Jesus was, that is all spiritual life. And you are sure there that you are in the good spirit. Why? Because you are following Jesus in the path He chose for Him. Because Jesus, everything that happened to Jesus was chosen by Jesus eternally in the plan of God. For you and for me are given by God. For Jesus, everything for us and for our salvation. So everything that happened in the life of Jesus was in the eternal plan of God for me and for my salvation. He has married with us more understanding of the power of that virtue that He proclaimed in the Magnificat, at least for her and later for the others. The hungry and the poor are the humble. It's the same thing. It's expressions in the language of desires is hunger and poor. I mean, and He talked about how God, the hungry, He fulfilled them, and the poor, He made them rich. I mean, that is all about understanding who we are and what is our hunger. He has here to help us to understand that it's not making myself poor, no, it's bringing yourself to your fullness. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mother of God, for us sinners now and in the hour of our death. Amen. I'm trying to understand that we are temples of God. The Holy Spirit dwells in us and is wanting to communicate himself to us, to bring us to the total truth, to reveal everything to us, so we nobody need to teach us. And that is what Jesus promised, and Jesus never promised something that he doesn't do. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Have a good week.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you for being there. Thank you. Good to see you.
Yeah, thank you, Father. You mentioned it several times, I can ask. When you speak about dependence on God, he said must be total, radical, and what is the third?
Permanent.
Permanent, okay. That was very good. Permanent.
So it's always remain in my Lord. So the dependence is a dependence of his love, because the creative action of God is love. So I exist because I love. If the love of God is what makes you exist. So when you think God doesn't love me, I mean, it's because you're not thinking very well, or you are putting your feelings before the truth. I mean, you exist as a person because God loves you as a person. So with the capacity of coming in a personal relationship with him, and that every human being, I mean, whatever it is, religion is, there is a natural love of God that is a creative love. But we are created for a fullness that is opening more to this love and now living. But that is always, because I depend on God always.
You're naked, you're on a TV.
Yes, it's every dimension of that.
My son is here without shirt. I'm just telling him he should not be here. Okay, you know what? Something else you mentioned. Yeah, he's home. You mentioned a dark night is painful, because what are we facing in that? Ourselves, our humiliation, our disorder, attachment, or how would you describe that? The core of that, because there is a, as I understand, there is active purgation when I actively. As you were talking about, that I need to fight it, you know, I need to go against my passion, against my disorder attachment, against my sinfulness. I need to crucify it, as Paul was saying. But in the dark night, it seems like it's a little bit beyond me, almost like I'm totally in the hands of God and facing my nothingness. But you mentioned something about dark night is very painful. Can you elaborate on that?
Yes, it's painful because I have to recognize how far is me levels of darkness are given to people who are close to God. They have a good prayer, they have a good intimacy with God, and now God brings light there for knowing you in depth. So you come to the truth, total truth of yourself, the total, the words of Saint John of the Cross, is the total annihilation of the person in the sensual and spiritual level of the ego. It's not the person, because the person comes to its fullness in the love of God and the union with God. It's transformed in God, in fact, because participating on the life of God in fullness. What means that I have to know who am I, because the point of original sin and all these things and all our life is that we make a lie about who we are and how we love. And God, with the light of God, that is a light that you cannot, I mean, it's purgatory. Is that purgatory is knowing you have done and not being able to go from there. Because here in this life, we are here. Well, I have a light of what I am doing. What is my pride? But now I go and I do my things and I forget it. In the purgatory, you cannot go away. You have to purify it. And purify it in the light of the love of God, and knowing who is God, loving him as the saints are there when they are in this dark night. And now, the only thing that you want, you understand that you are rejecting, because you are doing this and that and that and the other, and it's coming that light, and it's painful in the heart. That is the reason it's painful. It's not a physical painful, it's a spiritual pain. That usually goes with external events. That's what St. John of the Cross says. I mean, things that, I don't know, they take you that charge, or they sign the sign. This
asked me for similar things, and guided by the Spirit of God. Everything in the plan of God is for the union with Him. Even the external things, losing my work, I don't know, I mean, my job or whatever. I mean, I don't know what God does, but He's trying to bring us to the fullness of the union with Him so we can be really our Christ. God has a different plan for everyone, so thinking is useless, as we have talked about this in a lot of times. And when you are thinking what is going to happen, you are getting crazy because Satan is playing with you as he wants. I don't know what is going to happen. I know that I need his grace now and I will need his grace in the future. Whatever comes to my life is his will and is his love for me. Because the light, the dark nights are an expression of the love of God for you because he wants to transform you in fire. And so he wants to take the things by himself, that God is there. No, it's a purification of love. That is what is purgatory. It's a purification of love. But it's painful. Why? Because you have to know yourself and you cannot escape from that. And God gives that to people who are deep in the relationship with God. I mean, a person with, you know, I watch TV, I spend my time watching TV and I escape. But a person who is looking for love is looking for love. He's looking for God. And now the essence of his desires is God. And now God put you in a moment that, are you desiring me or what are you? And so makes you with a light that you cannot have by yourself. Daniel of the Cross talk about the, you know, when you are in a room that is with the clothes and there is little light, but if you open and the rays of light coming, you begin to see everything. Of there that are aware there, and it's also in this spiritual life is that you know yourself as you are, and that is painful. Knowing yourself, but that is the painful thing. That is a purification inside for being holy, so for getting rid by grace of God of that. Because the only thing that you can do that is what is. Now we know the mercy of God more than ever. I mean, Saint Faustina, Jean Paul II. I mean, it's all about his mercy. Not about how good we are, it's about the mercy of God. And letting that mercy to work in me now. But recognizing that all is a gift, so making myself more dependent on the love of God. It's all a process that God does for bringing us to the universe. That is the goal. Okay.
Thank you, Father. Thank you.
Thank you. For being there. Good to see you, everyone. Have a good night. Good
night.
Okay,
I have a number that you can activate with my